They are one of the hottest rock acts today. They are Coldplay. Now, Coldplay has an all-new, all-original album, Cold Plagiarism, featuring their smash hit, Vertigo. Coldplay's Cold Plagiarism with The Haunting, Bring Me to Life. Riding dirty. And the powerful Convoy. They're all on Cold Plagiarism, Coldplay's biggest and most original album yet. Available wherever you've heard that song before. The Department of Labor has announced that November 2008 saw the largest single month loss of jobs in 34 years. More than 500,000 experienced, highly skilled, motivated people cannot find work. Yet somehow, these people stay employed.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You are listening to LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
One may be the loneliest number, but it certainly isn't by itself, as you'll discover when Backtime remembers some fantastic firsts that happened on December 8th. Eli Whitney was born in Westboro, Massachusetts. He invented the cotton gin and developed the concept of mass production of interchangeable parts. Television took its first step in explaining where the next generation of viewers would be coming from, literally, in 1952. That's when TV acknowledged that women could become pregnant, as Lucy Ricardo announced she was with child in the show I Love Lucy. 1998 saw the first female ice hockey game in Olympic history. Finland bested Sweden 6-0. That's back time on December 8th. This is your announcer speaking.
I've made my decision, and I'm going to stand firm on it.
Bush picks a laser background for his presidential portrait. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. George Bush told reporters at a news conference today that after long and careful deliberation, he has selected a brightly lit laser-generated background for his official presidential portrait. The outgoing commander-in-chief expressed confidence that the background is, quote, very cool.
I believe strongly that history is going to judge that I made the correct choice with this awesome background.
The portrait stands in stark contrast to that of Bill Clinton, which featured the former president's famous profile against a background of fried chicken and waffles. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Hero.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Septic Tank Sucker Outer.
Mr. Septic Tank Sucker Outer.
It's a filthy job, and no one wants to do it except you. And you're not afraid to get your hands dirty. You, Mr. Septic Tank Sucker Outer, drive a big brown truck, but you're not delivering anything. You're taking it away.
The farther the...
Because when the septic system starts to back up,
it won't go down.
You back up your truck. You whip out that big old hose, Mr. Septic Tank Sucker Outer, and suck, suck, suck that malodorous gravy. But you're not done yet. It's time to grab that long-handled shovel scraper thingy and make sure nothing gets left behind.
Scrape that.
Thank you, Mr. Septic Tank Sucker Outer, for changing that giant 1,200-gallon diaper that's buried 6 inches below the lawn in the backyard.
It's a crappy job.
So crack a cold Bud Light and pinch a toast to Mr. Septic Tank Sucker Outer, a real American hero. Anheuser-Flush, St. Louis, Missouri.
And now from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to another week. Today is Monday, December 8th, and the first thing is another birthday. And this
one's birthday?
For, this one is for the dearest woman in my life.
Oh, Sam, it's not right my birthday.
It's not your birthday?
No.
Okay, well, it is my wife's.
Oh.
And whom I love very much. And she is, well, I won't give away her age because women don't like that.
38.
29 is actually a better age, right?
For everybody. Yes, yes.
Yeah. So happy birthday, my dear loved wife. And I don't know if she's listening because she's sleeping. They had a baby shower yesterday to do and all that stuff. So
she's getting her beauty rest.
Something like that. Something like that.
Well, then I won't ask if we're going to do anything nice and surprise her or anything on the air.
I don't know. After the incident with my brother, I don't know that he was so happy that I called, you know, because, well, he was surprised, you know.
When you called him on the radio?
Yeah, he wasn't surprised to be on the air. I mean, he wasn't ready to be on the air, you know.
I know. It's like if someone calls me and I'm not expecting, like, you know, to have, like, my phone voice on, uh-huh. and I'll roll over in the middle of the night, I'm like, hello? It's like, what do you want? It's like it takes me a good half an hour to be like, good morning. I'm like, oh, hi, it's Susie. So if you call someone and you know they're sleeping, uh-huh. you really don't want to, like, put them on the spot that early in the morning.
Yeah.
Not nice.
Well, why would you call them early in the morning in the first place?
To put them on the spot.
Yeah, I suppose.
Oh, jeez.
So how's it going? Your hair is like all over the place today.
I know. I have all this weird hair product from when I had like really short hair. Uh-huh. And so this morning I was just trying something new. And so I scraped out, I think, way too much of this putty. And I rub it on my hands and I'm like, gosh, it looks like there's just cum all over your hands. And you're like, all right. So you just like start rubbing it in. I have a lot of hair. It's very thick. Uh-huh. So the putty kind of stuck to each individual strand and made it kind of like, mm-hmm. I don't know, Jim Carrey in one of his crazy movies.
Yeah, it is. It
kind of like looks detective. Like,
it kind of looks like you just got out of bed or something.
No, I actually showered and did it this morning.
No, I mean, I know you did, but it's just kind of like all over the place. That's funny because your hair is pretty either made up or you put it in a hat or something.
Yes, know? Yes.
Oh, so man. How was your weekend? You were very sick.
Oh, fuck, man. I was so sick. You know, Thursday I didn't drink. Friday I didn't drink because I had to work both nights until pretty late. Mm-hmm. And so then Friday night I went home at like midnight and I went straight to bed. Even though I had like, you know, Lane, the guy I'm seeing, you know, he kept calling and saying, you know, come on out. We're going to this bar. Come play. And I'm like, you know, I'm really tired. I've got to spend the entire day on Saturday doing my stats and studying for my two exams. Yeah. Like, that's my day. So I went to bed. I woke up at 6 in the morning with like a wrenching stomach pain. And I swear to God, my roommate Lisa upstairs must have just thought I was like masturbating for like mm-hmm. a long time, like
really?
Having a good sesh. Because
why is that? You were moaning?
I was moaning.
Really?
And I'm telling you, I get sick like this like once a year and it's really bad to the point where I have like such sweats and like my skin's like crawling all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of like, like, and it like goes back and forth and it's cyclical like that, like continuously for a long period of time. And I'm not saying that's what I sound like when I masturbate, but to someone else, you know.
Yeah. Do you make sounds when you masturbate? When you're alone?
When I'm alone and I know right. I'm alone, sure. Right.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, really? Because that's when I don't, you know?
Oh, no. If there's someone... like
actually, no.
If I know like she's home and stuff, we have really thin walls, so I try and... you know, that's...
And be quiet, yeah.
You know, I don't want her to know I'm masturbating. I want to be able to be in my own little world and
not
do my
only
thing.
That, but you know, it's like I remember a long time ago when we were like guys together, you know, like trips, whatever it was, you know, when there was a lot of guys and, you know, we'd sleep in a tent or something. And
come on.
And this guy would fucking masturbate.
Shut the fuck up.
And you could tell because he was making sounds and shit. And I felt like so dirty, you know.
You just feel so disgusting.
You really do, you know. And the thing is,
you've gone there this morning.
You know, I think that's like sexual abuse when you think about it. You know, you're exposing someone to something like this where you make him feel very uncomfortable.
That's why you're not allowed to have sex in front of children.
Yeah. But I mean, this is like, you know, it's so disgusting. I felt dirty.
Oh, God.
You know?
All right, let me back up to my sickness and then remind me to talk about that because I've got an amazing story for you that is just horrific.
Really?
Yes, you'll love it.
I'm sure.
So I was like so super sick on Saturday and Lisa like left the house kind of early, so she must have thought, you know, I don't know what's wrong. But so then, you know, then all of a sudden, like a couple hours later, I just start puking like all over the place. I mean, just... the contents of my stomach, and it really wasn't that much, just like totally out of control.
Yeah.
If I had been drinking the night before, you know, I would have been kind of confused, like, is this, you know, did I drink too much? Should I have not mixed tequila and wine together? But I knew I hadn't been drinking, so I was like, this is not right. And then I got back in bed, and I was just, like, chilled, even though, like, I was soaking my sheets. You know, they were just, I was sweating all over the place.
Jeez.
So I was pretty much out of commission. But, yeah.
You know, I mean, like, throwing up and shit, yeah. I can't remember the last time I did, but isn't it, like, one of the worst experiences you go through? I mean, you feel your head is going to explode.
You feel like, I couldn't even watch, like, once I finally got back into bed, and, like, the worst of it had stopped, mm-hmm. so I thought for a while, I was like, all right, what can I do? Like, I can't, my head hurts too much to, like, do stats homework right now, so I'm going to watch Young and the Restless.
Yeah,
I couldn't even watch The Young and the Restless. It hurt my head. Oh, God, that was torture. I was like, I can't do anything. I can't read. I can't study. I can't sleep. I just have to sit here and sweat and shake and moan.
Wow, that's terrible.
Yeah.
So how long did it last?
Well, the stomach pains lasted pretty much all day. And then the last time I ate an apple, I really felt like I needed a piece of fruit at like 10 o'clock at night, mm-hmm. which is like the first piece of food I had in my stomach all day.
Yeah, but an apple's probably not the best...
I don't know, but when your body like tells you it needs something, you kind of like trust it, I think.
Yeah.
And so I had half an apple, and then at 11 o'clock I was puking again.
Really?
So, and then I went all the way until about 6 o'clock last night before I had a solid meal, and I had a sandwich.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Jeez. So, yeah, a lot of people are getting sick, I think. Either like cold flus and or a stomach flu and shit, you know? I mean, what the fuck?
I know.
Yeah.
All right, so since we're talking about
masturbation,
or just sex, any kind of sex in front of another person.
Right.
All right, back when I was, it was my freshman year at UC Boulder, and my best friend from boarding school was at Brown. Mm-hmm. And she was dating Natalie Portman's ex-boyfriend. Actually, she cheated, this guy, the boyfriend, who was dating Natalie Portman at the time, cheated on Natalie with my friend.
Oh, really?
And they were both at Harvard, and my girlfriend was at Brown. But so my friend would go to Boston and go visit this guy. And she would always stay in a hotel room. And the guy was on football scholarship, so he wasn't really smart, and he didn't really have any money.
Yeah.
And my friend was like filthy, filthy, filthy rich. Keep this in mind.
Yeah.
So one day, like, I get this phone call, and like, meanwhile, I'm getting all the phone calls, like, oh, you know, I'm fucking Natalie Portman's boyfriend. Like, what do I do? You know what I mean? Do I like put the smack down and be like, all right, it's me or her? And then it's like, well, that's a stupid question. You know, her. But so anyway, she decided that she wanted me to meet the guy so, like, you know, I can give approval or not as her best friend.
Yeah.
So she flies me from Colorado to Boston.
Really? Where, just for that?
Just for that. For the weekend.
Yeah.
So she puts us up at, like, the super nice hotel. I forget if it was, like, the Four Seasons or something. But so anyway, we're in this hotel, and the guy comes. He, like, comes to the door, and he knocks on it, and he's got flowers for both of us. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, nice move. You know, fine. Butter me up with some flowers. I got pink roses, and, like, she got red.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, that was kind of cute.
Yeah.
So then he brings one of his other friends to meet us for dinner. And so we have dinner, and we're having, like, he's ordering the most expensive bottles of wine. I'm talking, like, upwards of $500 a bottle. Okay? He's having, like, the most expensive things on the menu, like, having, like, you know, three different courses. And I'm kind of eating conservatively, you know. I'm not feeling that hungry that day. The bill comes. Mm-hmm. He just looks at it.
Yeah.
If you're a guy and like you're taking out like two girls, you don't sit and order a $500-$600 bottle of wine and then another one and then have the bill come and just look at it.
Yeah.
He looked at it until she picked it up.
Really?
Yeah. So that was my... Because he doesn't have any money.
And but she's rich?
She's filthy rich. So he's gotten accustomed to, you know, just, oh, well, if Nicole's, you know, I got my sugar mama over here, so I'm going to order the most expensive thing on the menu. She knows I can't afford it. What an asshole move
to do.
What
a motherfucker. Wow.
And so this is the first observation that I'm noticing that I'm like, okay, I'm not really so fond of this guy.
Yeah.
So whatever. We go out and we're dancing at the club and we're having a good time. We all get completely hammered. Completely hammered, okay? Mm-hmm. And so then I don't really like his friend, so I send his friend away. And so then... the guy Brant, whatever his name was, he takes us in a cab back to our hotel. And so we go up the elevator, we go to our hotel room, and Nicole and I had this queen size bed that we were sharing because we were girls and we slept together. Yeah. Not slept together, but slept together. Well, we had slept together, but that's a different story.
That's a different story.
But so anyway, Brant was like, oh, I'm too fucked up to take a cab home. And he gets in bed with the two of us.
Oh.
So, you know, I'm on the end, she's in the middle, he's on the other end. And I'm so drunk that I start to pass out. An hour later, I hear, oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah, right there. No, my friend's in the bed. She's passed out. She won't know. Harder. And meanwhile, I start to wake up, and they are fully naked, just fucking. Like, the bed is just shaking while I am in it, keep in mind. Okay, and he's a big freaking man. He's a really? Harvard football player with like some muscle behind him, and he is just shaking the bed.
Wow.
And so I wake up and I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, that's fucking disgusting. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, I'm in the bed.
Yeah.
Who does that? And so they're like, okay, okay, we'll stop. Sorry. So they stop. And I'm still kind of grossed out, but whatever. Yeah. I stay in bed. You know, she flew me out from Boston. I'm not sleeping on the fucking floor. So, or from Colorado. So all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, they start doing it again. And I'm like, okay, this has got to stop. This is disgusting. And so I yell at them again. They're like, oh, sorry. Three times they do this to me before. I'm like, oh my God. I grab like the top comforter off the bed and a pillow, and I go and I get in the bathtub.
Yeah.
So now I'm in the bathtub, like trying to sleep. Uh-huh. And now all of a sudden I hear like porn on the TV, you know, like louder than their screams. But I could still hear their screams and moans in the bed, like banging against the fucking wall.
Uh-huh.
All right. So an hour of this goes by. This guy must have been a machine or something. I don't know what. And all of a sudden, I hear Nicole knock on the door, and she's like, Suze, can I come in? I was like, oh, what? Disgusted with my friend at this point.
Yeah.
She's like, she comes in. I'm waiting for an apology. She's like, Brant has to use the bathroom. Can you get out of the bathtub? What? I was so furious. Yeah. And if I wasn't broke and had enough money to like get my own room at the Four Seasons, you know, I gladly would have done it. But instead, I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. So I grab my pillow and I grab my blanket, and I go outside the hotel room. Mm-hmm. And now I'm asleep on the floor.
Right.
Outside the door. This big black man wakes me up about 45 minutes later with a flashlight in my face. Mm-hmm. It was hotel security.
Yeah.
Apparently, you're not allowed to sleep outside in the hallway at the Four Seasons.
Oh, really?
And so he's like, ma'am, you know, is this your room? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, you need to get in it. And I was like, I wake up and I like shake my head. And I still hear them fucking.
Yeah.
And I was like, you expect me to go in there? I was like, uh-uh, you go in there. Yeah, and he's like, well, you can't stay out here. And I was like, well, you knock on the door. And so he's like, all right. So he knocks on the door. I'm telling you, this man was massive.
Yeah.
And he's like, ma'am, this is hotel security. You know, you need to let your friend in the room. And so my friend comes, throws open the door. But this was before her breast reduction. Her like big saggy tits were like down to her stomach, you know, fully naked, like full frontal opening the door. And this guy is sitting on the bed, like in full view of everyone with his hands behind his head and his hard cock, like all like 12 fucking inches of it, like fully erect, like standing there looking at me and the security guard.
Really?
Like, it was just ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it exposes you to sex without your consent, you know, and I think that's what makes you feel like, you know, dirty. You know?
I felt so dirty.
But I'm sure some people find it as a turn on, you know. I just feel, you know, I mean, I don't know how I would feel if somebody had sex next to me, but masturbation, you know, I mean, I have to think of him like coming and then his fucking stomach, whatever the fuck they do, you know? It was disgusting.
Coming in his stomach?
Well, on his stomach, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, well, yeah. You know?
Oh.
Yeah. I meant in a tissue.
Oh,
or
okay.
Something, yeah.
Oh, God. But they still didn't even stop after this. Like, Nicole was so upset. All of a sudden, she pretended she was so upset. She's like, I'm calling to order another room for us. Right. And Brant can have this room. So I was like, don't be ridiculous. That's such a waste of money. Like, stop being stupid. She's like, no, you're my friend. I'm sorry. I was really drunk. And I'm like, whatever. So I refused to let her order another room, and she did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
She went and slept in the other room by herself. I refused to go because it was a waste of money. It was ridiculous. Like, he should have taken a cab and hightailed it out of there. And so I ended up sleeping in the bed. He slept on the floor. She slept in the other room. And I woke up in the morning. He had a crink in his neck, so he got in bed with me.
Ah.
Like, I'm telling you, this guy was a dog. He ended up being the end of our friendship because she fell madly in love with him.
Really?
And I was like, I can't be, you know, I can't support this relationship.
Yeah.
I just can't. Like, there were other things that happened, too.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
But how nasty.
Yeah. I know. So she was hot and rich?
Hot and rich.
Really?
She's even hotter now because she's had like full plastic surgery.
Really?
Yeah.
So what, why were her boobs sagging? Were they big?
They were.
Was she a big girl?
She used to be, she has just her bone structure, you know what I mean? Just was meant to carry like a little bit more. Like she always was like kind of bigger.
Mm.
Like she just naturally had like huge breasts and they were like very saggy. Mm. But she was always jealous that I could wear like all of her cute designer outfits with no bra and have like my perky little tits and she would always have to like strap hers on and like, you know, suck them all the way up to get like some cleavage going on.
Yeah.
So she ended up having like a massive breast reduction. There were a lot of issues in our friendship. Like one day at boarding school, she was telling me, oh, you know, she would call me Sos. She's like, Sos, I'm going to be in New York over Christmas. And I'm like, okay. She's like, I'm having my sinuses drilled. I'm like,
What?
Your sinuses drilled.
Uh-huh.
And I, like, started getting suspicious, and I was like, she's having a fucking nose job.
Yeah.
And she didn't need a nose job. Her nose was beautiful.
Really? People are so fucked up, you know, with all these surgeries.
I have a really wide smile. Mm-hmm. One day she came back from, like, a weekend in New York City, and she had a brand new smile. And she came in to, like, look at me in my room and wake me up in the morning, and she smiled, and I was like, ah! I was like, what's wrong with you?
Really?
She had her jaw broken and had it, like, enlarged, and then had porcelain veneers put over all of her teeth to make her jaw wider and her teeth bigger.
Wow.
To have, like, a big smile like mine.
I can't believe that.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, this girl was gorgeous. She needed no work. I mean, she's still gorgeous, but it's fake now.
Yeah. But she had money, and she didn't know what the fuck to do with it.
I know.
Yeah, these people are totally fucked up, you know. Mm-hmm. Messed up completely.
I know. Yeah. And this all started, like, she started having plastic surgery at, like, 14.
Really?
You know, you're a product of your environment. And, like, her mother, you know, was the one. This was funny. Her mom had Botox when it was, like, first becoming, like, trendy. And so her mom came home from the Botox rehab. They missed, and they, like, hit the wrong muscle, and it, like, made her eye paralyzed and completely, like, paralyzed her eyelid. So she looked like a cyclops on one side. It's like, that's what you get for fucking with yourself, lady.
Yeah.
For like 6 weeks, she had like no movement in like her eyelid or something.
Oh, how terrible. Did you ever get that when you get...
No, I've never had Botox.
But a Novocaine shot, and then it numbs half your face. And then you can't blink your eye, and it starts tearing and
why
shit.
Why would you have Novocaine... Actually, you know what?
When you go to the dentist.
Why would he shoot it in your eye?
No, not in your eye, but they put it in your gums, and it goes... Sometimes it just... Does it to your eye? Maybe
really?
It's not supposed to, but
I don't think it's supposed to go up that high.
You know,
oh, no.
Some dentists are pieces of shit, you know. I don't like dentists, you know. They always
I love them.
Do you?
They're my favorite doctor.
They always try to push shit on you, you know, like do this and do that and
they
charge you for everything.
They're always telling me they want to,
you know,
do x-rays every time to see if I have cavities.
Yeah.
I'm like, I haven't had a cavity ever in my life, you know what I mean? Like, you could tell I come for my checkup every 6 months. You would be able to tell.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's like almost every dentist I went to, it's like, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this. And, you know, and you just realize they're not really doctors. They're fucking salespeople, you know?
I know.
And so you kind of like lose your trust, you know? And with a doctor, even a dentist, you want to have a certain amount of trust.
Well, with a dentist, you know, I think it's kind of, I kind of equate them to like, you know, mechanics, car mechanics.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just have to know like how to say, no, I just want an oil change. I don't want X, Y, and Z done.
Right.
You know, and they think that they can come in and like come in through the back door and be like, oh, hey, well, you know, it's preventative maintenance.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that we tend to trust doctors, you know, and that's what happens. With car mechanics, it's not quite the same.
Oh, I'm so excited. Speaking of doctors.
Yeah.
I'm going to visit... Well, I'm flying into D.C. first, and then because my sister doesn't want to drive home for Christmas by herself. Mm-hmm. So I asked her yesterday, I'm like, could you write me all my prescriptions? Because she could only fill them in D.C.
Yeah.
So she was like, oh, I guess so. Fine. Oh, I'm so excited.
So you have free access to all drugs, huh?
But only if I fly to D.C. because I have to get it filled myself there.
Right.
Because until she's an official doctor, right now she's doing her residency, so she can only write prescriptions in D.C.
Oh, okay. But other doctors can write them anywhere or within that state?
They
still have to be licensed.
It's still licensed and things like that, but I can have her like write it in triplicate. And, you know, once she's an Army doctor officially, she can write it anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Nice and
trust
handy
me,
to
I
have.
Can't wait.
Huh?
I can't wait. Although I did ask her once upon a time, because they use ketamine sometimes for small children as like a form of, not antiseptic, anesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
And ketamine is like the horse tranquilizer
that
they use. That's my favorite illegal drug to use. I'm like, hey, can you steal like a large quantity of this from your hospital? She's like, no. Oh my, I signed like an ethics thing. And I'm like, oh, well.
Well, she can always give the excuse that she has a sister.
That's unethical. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So you got your exams this week?
I have them today.
Today? Both?
Well, I have two today, but my stats is a two-day exam, so it's today and Wednesday.
Oh, my God. The two-day exam.
I am so fucked. I'm not even capable of getting a D in my stats at this point.
Really?
Yep.
Why?
Because I have to get 14 out of 20 questions right on my final to get a D.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen.
Wow.
I mean, because I spent all day Saturday, which was my study day, puking my brains out.
Yeah.
Not able to study at all. And then
so
yesterday...
So you put in this whole time and you're just going to fail now. That's terrible.
I know.
Wow.
I shouldn't have waited until the last minute to get my studying done, but you know the way my schedule is, how every day is like full from like 1 minute to the next.
Right, right.
Well,
that's what, like I was saying before, you know, maybe all you can hope for is a better professor next time, you know?
And you know what? You know, maybe the professor's right. Maybe, you know, it is better for me because I might actually learn the subject. Because as of right now, going into the final, I've gotten the grades that I've gotten, quote unquote, actually not understanding a goddamn thing that I've done.
Yeah.
I mean, I have understood nothing. I mean, nothing. I mean, yes, I understand a bell curve and a standard deviation, but that's like just the basic, very, very first basic premise of the class that you have to understand to even get into the shit.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't understand shit.
Yeah. Wow.
So maybe it is better in the long run for my own knowledge.
It is.
If I fail and take it over. Yeah. And maybe it's a life lesson to myself to not be so busy and not to do so many things.
Yeah.
When I'm
you see, what I discovered, statistics is fun the first couple times when you start to suddenly hear about things you've heard before but you didn't know, you know?
Yeah.
And but then once you have to get into the nitty-gritty of it, it's fucking boring as hell.
It's like, know? I mean, if I read an article right now, like in a psychology magazine or something, or, you know, some kind of science magazine, I would understand all of the statistics that they were talking about.
Right.
I don't need to know exactly how they got them, right, or, you know, the T scores and the Z scores and the da 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 da.
Yeah.
I mean, I would understand the basic premise of it all and enough, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know. Nobody needs to understand it that deeply unless you're in statistics, you know. I know. I know,
it's
terrible.
Gets my panties
in a bunch. You know, I mean, I remember it was fun when they show you how to find the odds to win the lottery and shit like that,
yep,
you know, and gambling.
Basically, I learned enough in that class to know that I shouldn't even play the lottery.
Exactly, you know. 1 in 14 million, you know, chances or something, you know.
And, but hey, you never know.
Yeah, you never know. People do win.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But so, yesterday, I was super frustrated because I woke up at 11, you know, still drained from the day before. And so I got up and had like some saltine crackers and ginger ale because my stomach still was like a fist.
Yeah.
And so I was like, right, I've got to go to a library. And I don't like the school library very much. You know, there are a lot of other libraries around town that I love that are really conducive to studying.
Yeah.
And so I start driving to this one. It was absolutely packed full of people.
Really?
Like there was nowhere to sit in this library. It's all finals week.
Yeah.
So I drive 9 miles across town to this other one that I really like. I get there. And I almost got in 5 car accidents because I still felt so sick and lightheaded with nothing in my stomach. But I'm still like, my fists are clenched around my steering wheel and I'm driving, running stop signs. And I'm like, ah, I almost got hit. I get to the library. The goddamn library is closed.
Really?
The next one I get to, it's closed.
Wow.
At this point, I'm almost in tears because I've spent 2 hours of my precious studying time driving around trying to find an appropriately studious library.
Yeah.
Nothing. So I'm in tears. I call Lane. I'm like, I don't know what to do. And he's like, meet me at the SMC library. Fine. So I now plug it into my GPS. I'm half an hour away. Drive all the way there. Park my car. Walk all the way across campus. It's closed. Finals week on a Sunday. The school library is closed. So now I'm really about to cry. So yeah. Lane's like, calm down.
All you had to do is call me. I would have told you, go to the one in downtown. I mean, I know it's a little far, but you drove to another one. But
it's open
downtown,
on Sundays?
Oh, yeah, it's open all the time. And it's huge.
But
so
how late is it open on
people.
Sundays? If they're open on Sundays, they're only open till like 5.
Yeah, and what time did you need to go?
I needed to go for like, I don't know, like most libraries are open later until like 8. And school libraries in particular are usually open till 10.
Yeah, but it is Sunday, you know.
I don't care. Yeah. It's not a day of rest for me.
All right.
I'm not one of you people.
But you did keep it to, you know, to the last minute, you know.
I did. I kept it until the day before the last minute.
Yeah.
And then I got sick.
Yeah.
But so anyway, I found a new
what
way to study.
What a great student you are.
Shut up. I have maintained A's in everything up until this point in my life.
Yeah.
With the exception of that one semester 9 years ago.
Okay. We won't use that one
against
you.
But that's a pretty good track record.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Not bad. It can't be any better.
No, that's true. No, I know, but now you're like ruining your GPA, you know?
But it's not my fault that the professor's a cocksucking communist motherfucker.
I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying, you know? We have an author coming up, not to change the subject on you.
I'm going to get to your favorite part in a minute.
We've already talked enough about school.
No, one more second.
Oh, okay.
So I finally gave up on studying stats. When I realized I didn't know anything. So Lane and I decided to go back to his house and study biology.
Yeah.
What?
And what did you learn?
I learned that that I'm going to get an A in that test. Especially we studied, I found a very interesting way to study.
Oh, you actually did study?
We actually did study.
Oh, I see.
But I made it into a little bit of a game.
Uh-huh.
Basically, he was holding, the professor is picking, we have three exams, each with like 60 questions on them that we've already taken. He's right. picking 40 of those questions and recycling them.
Really?
Yes. So that's so easy. I'm yeah. telling you, I've convinced this professor. I'm like, dude, stop taking it so seriously. You know, just, you know, mix and do this.
Yeah.
So basically, I would have Lane read the questions and the answer, mm-hmm. and I would be sucking his dick the whole time. And if he would stray and if he would pause or stutter on anything, I would just stop and like let it slowly fall out of my mouth until he would pick up the, you know. I didn't want him slacking.
What a great game.
It was a great game. Yeah. And so every time...
Have you given him a blowjob?
Once.
Before today?
Once.
I mean, before yesterday?
Once, yes.
Okay, so it wasn't a new thing.
It wasn't a new thing.
Right.
Well, it was kind of a new thing. It was only yeah. the second time.
So how was it? Did he come? Did he complete?
I don't okay. think I should be talking about
right.
it. He's already going to kill me for okay. bringing this up in the air.
I need to know if you swallowed or not. But okay, you don't have to tell me, but generally,
I'll just,
do you?
I'll just put it this way. Generally, I am not a swallower.
Okay, good.
Unless it's force-fed to me.
Really?
Like a mother bird
yeah.
feeding her child.
I know. I don't know how women can take it down their throats, but...
But I have a thing. Like, a lot of men don't like being kissed after their dick has been sucked.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
I've found that, like... I'm not saying anyone in particular yeah. right now, but...
Well, if it's been in your mouth, you know. But, yeah, if it's clean, why would they mind, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, there's women that will give you a blowjob after you've been inside their pussy, you know?
I'll do that.
And then there's all kinds of things on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
But you'll take it.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I love kissing a guy after he's been licking my pussy.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe it's the lesbian me coming out. I love the smell of pussy yeah. on his face. I'm just like, yum.
Let me smell vagina.
See, I told you I'd like to hear about my study group.
Yeah. Oh, your study group.
Well, with Lane.
Yeah. Oh, that was your study group.
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah. So if I get an A, we can attribute it to
So did you actually play it?
Yes.
And you ended up giving him a blowjob?
We did like two tests this way.
Wow.
And then we switched. It was the opposite.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Then I read the questions and he...
Nice games.
Meow.
Slurping.
All right, go back to your author.
Okay, we have an author coming up in a few minutes. His name is Harrison Forbes. Not Harrison Ford, but Harrison Forbes. And he's a pet expert, a self-described pet expert, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to ask him. He wrote a book called Dog Talk. And he's got a show. He's got a radio show also.
Oh, really?
Called Pet Talk. So we'll ask him about that, too. Sounds pretty interesting. And so we'll call in a few minutes. Oh, we got a phone call. Hold on. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie.
I am so excited.
Oh, this is Chase, right? I can yes. recognize the voice by now.
Hi, Chase.
What are you excited about, Chase?
It's my birthday Wednesday.
Oh.
Another December baby.
Another one. Wow. There's birthdays all over the place.
She's going to be 21.
Yeah, sure she is.
No, I'm going to be older than that. I'm so psyched to be my age. I'm not, like, freaky about that.
You know what? I was freaked out about turning 26, but turning 27, I'm actually really excited about. Like, I'm actually not afraid.
I am so excited about 27.
I really am. I mean, I feel like I'm officially going to be an adult at 27.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, totally.
Like, it's official.
And it's sort of like you're still young enough to wear... You know, when you make a dumb mistake, you're like, but I'm 20.
Exactly.
But you're old enough to know a little bit better.
Exactly. I love it, Chase. I was actually just thinking about that the other day. And like, for some reason, but then I feel like when you turn 28, you kind of get to go backwards again. I don't know. So I think I'm going to have one year.
It's funny
of like,
because your favorite boyfriend of mine used to count backwards. He's like, I'm not turning 29. I'm going backwards.
Which one
Literally,
was this?
When he turned 28 because I knew him for his 29th birthday and 30th birthday.
Which God, one?
What?
Which boyfriend?
Seth.
What an awful name. Sam looks irritated.
No, I'm not. Why would I be irritated?
Sam looking irritated? No. Did you have your fiber this morning, honey?
I don't need anything in the morning.
Did he have it? Eat his fiber.
We're getting familiar now, Sam. I can say these things to you.
You think so, huh?
Oh, God, that's hysterical.
The first time I met you, you asked me if I liked cum on my face.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I simply asked about your breakfast.
Yeah, you can ask me these things until I actually get to see your tits. You know, then you can ask me anything you want.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said, you know, those things you have... that are beautiful, okay? And Susie described, you see, if Susie hadn't said, if Susie hadn't said they were beautiful, I wouldn't be so curious. But now I'm really curious.
Perfect.
Like, what are you talking about?
Your breasts.
My what?
Your boobage.
Your tits. Your breasts.
Well, I don't know what those are.
Your knockers.
Your hoo-has.
Oh,
Chase, what are you doing these days? Are you working?
I am working. I work a lot.
Really? What do you do?
I'm an artist and an educator.
Who do you educate?
I started this education program for students starting age 11 on up. I even have like some students in college right now.
Me.
And basically, I help them get to the next level of their education. And the we're actually kind of international. I have a client in Ireland. I have a client in New York. I have clients in Florida and L.A.
So one in Ireland makes you international?
Yes.
Okay.
And you, Susie, I don't know if you know who any of them are, but you're not allowed to say who any of them are.
I won't.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's got some big name clients.
Oh, really? Well, we don't really care. So what do you, I didn't understand this. So what do you do with them? Those famous?
I torture them.
You torture them. Chase, come on, get serious for just a second.
She basically like helps them get higher on their SATs, helps them get into colleges, tutors them through every single...
It's a little bit more complex than that, though, because like the educators that I have working for me are people who have these extraordinary educations who are pursuing their passions and need a little extra money. So like one of the guys who's on staff for me right now is a cryogenic fuel system specialist, and he's doing some consultant work for NASA. And he also started the biodiesel cars that they have, like the old Mercedes where they convert them into cars that can run on vegetable oil.
Yeah.
Right. He's starting a small business like that. So he owns a house. And just as a way of, you know, having a little bit of steady income, like spending money, he tutors with me. And then I have another guy, and he went to Caltech. And then I have another guy who went to Caltech who, was a mechanical engineer, and he has a master's in mechanical engineering and is now in architecture school, so he does some, you know, tutoring for me. And then I have another woman who is very involved with the Brown Alumni Committee, who is a writer for Disney, who does a little tutoring for me. And then I have another woman who, and that woman also went to Brown.
What qualifies you to help these people that they don't already know?
You know, I think that it's, first of all, I think being an expert in a field is not always about knowing everything. It's knowing where to find the answers. So that's number one. Number two,
I like that answer.
What?
I like that answer.
I think, and number two, I've been doing this since, I've been educating, people since I was in college. You know, I wanted to go to medical school when I was at school at Columbia, and they tell you that the best doctors are the best teachers. So, you know, besides working in a lab and volunteering in a hospital, I also taught, you know, ESL kids, learning difference kids, adults, sick kids, well kids, you know, my family friends who had children on the Upper East Side who were like in middle school and high school.
Yeah.
So it's something I've been doing for a long time. And in addition to that,
she's really good with people and networking.
Yeah.
I'm good with people and networking.
She knows a lot of important people, and she just knows people.
Really?
But I also have done a lot of consciousness work. So everything I do
that
is
means
based
hippie dippy.
Wholeness.
Yeah, that means psychic shit.
That means hippie dippy
psychic. No, it's not psychic shit. It's more about how... It's more about how we walk through the world. It's sort of changing your framing.
Hippy dippy.
It's not
psychic
hippy dippy.
I love you, Chase.
You know, every psychic is self-entitled psychic, okay? I mean, you know, if you're a psychic, I think other people need to recognize it first before you do, you know? I mean, what is it with the everybody's
a
psychic?
Are you saying you're a psychic educator?
Yeah, everybody's a psychic.
Are we done talking about my education work, Sam?
Yeah, it's kind of boring, you know?
Can I say one more thing, though?
Yeah.
Just one more important thing. I used to work with this organization called Covenant House. In Hollywood. They're actually all over North America, but the one that's particularly dear to me is the one that's in Hollywood on Western and Santa Monica Boulevard. And during the holidays, if anybody is looking for a place to donate like $5, $10, $20, or their time or anything. It's an incredible program, and I really recommend it.
Okay.
Any place that teaches people to help themselves, mm-hmm. amazing.
Yeah. You lost me completely. But
it was a charitable donation that she was trying to do.
Right, right. Which is nice. Which is nice.
Ooh.
But
you know what, Sam?
It's too heavy.
I think your educational experience is limited to making things precious.
What does that mean?
It doesn't have to be that way.
Was that a compliment?
Yeah.
Was that a friggin' compliment?
You know, it wasn't your fault that you ended up this way entirely.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, are you a good speller?
No, I'm terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me spell a word for you, okay? F-U-C-K-Y-O-U. Okay?
That was two words.
So, okay. No, okay, but you can, there's a conjugation there, so you can make it one word.
Gotcha.
Fuck you. But, fuck you.
Yeah, but at any rate, thank you for the compliment, Chase. We really appreciate that.
Sam, speaking of spelling...
So, Sam, who did you guys have on the show today?
Just you.
Just you so far, but we have an author we're calling in 5 minutes.
No, I think he's supposed to call us. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Chase, you need to listen to the show. We can't give you like a special introduction here. So obviously, we're irritated with each other this morning. So call back tomorrow. Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. You're saying shit about me. I just said that this stuff is boring to me. I didn't say that it's not important, you know, but... you know, what do I know? Look, at 9 o'clock in the morning, talk to me about light things.
When your son needs help with his SATs and you want a discount on some...
So wait a minute. So you're really good on the SATs, right?
We're really good on, I think, everything. We get pretty amazing results.
But yes, on the SATs.
What did you
get
your SATs?
I don't know if I want to say.
Why?
I mean, because first of all, it's a different scale now. It's out of 2,400. When I took them, it was out of 1,600.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't do that well. I barely broke 1,400.
Oh, wow. So what happened? So you learned about the stuff afterwards. So now you know how to take all the SAT stuff that you know and you help people with.
You know, it's more about a process and having building blocks.
Like, exactly.
First of all, the SAT test is a little bit different today than when Susie and I took it.
Really?
And definitely different from when you took it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you take it?
No, I don't know how I got away with it. I never had to take it, and I was admitted to college. I went to UNLV, you know,
you
which is not just
sneaky bastard.
Yeah, I don't know how. I really don't know how. But, yeah, but then I tried to take the GMAT, and that was pretty hard.
What's that?
Hard. That's for to get into business school.
Oh. Yeah. I'm like, I know the LSAT and you know, the MCATs. And I never heard about that one.
Yeah. All right. Well, enough about education. Chase, thank you so much. And
you really appreciate me calling, Sam?
Yes, I really do.
I think
I really do. But you just, you're a little uptight. You know, you're a little uptight. You don't like to talk about yourself too much. And that's kind of a hindrance on a show like this.
I don't like talking about my anatomy too much with you. You're not my boyfriend.
So what?
Only
so
my
what?
Boyfriend gets to have that conversation.
Okay. All
and
right.
Me.
That's why you're boring on the radio.
Okay. Chase, I hope you have a fantastic birthday on Wednesday. I will see you as soon as my second, the second half of my stats final is out, and we will get shitty drunk and have a grand old time.
I cannot wait.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yay,
Chase,
guys.
We have just one little thing for you. Hang on a second.
What?
They say it's your birthday.
She says, what? What do you have now, Sam? Oh, now what do you have?
Okay, so that's for you.
Thanks, Sam.
My pleasure. And come and grace us with your presence again. We really love
having
you.
I would love to.
Okay, wonderful.
You know, maybe we can talk about my art. Maybe that'll be more enthusing to you.
Okay.
I don't even know about your art.
Yeah.
You have
okay.
to come see it.
Bye, Chase.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. I don't know. It wasn't a cool call at all. She's very uptight. I mean, you know, when someone has, like, they start putting limits to what they're going to talk about, it becomes boring, you know. I don't want to talk about her art. I don't want to talk about her education. I want to know about what it's like to have beautiful boobs. Okay? What's wrong with that? Okay? I'm not objectifying her. When she comes here, she came in here, we were very interested in what she had to say and in herself. Okay? But,
I want to hear more about the witches when she comes in next time.
Witches.
Wicca and all that stuff.
Because
she's like a witch, too.
Oh, she's a witch?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
That's why she's weird.
All of my friends are eccentric.
Yeah?
Yes.
I noticed. Do you wonder why? What's the common denominator here?
Wait a minute.
You.
Wait a minute. I'm failing stats right now. Wait a minute. But it sounds familiar. It's ringing a vague bell.
Yeah. And being on birthdays, I want to play another one for my wife, of course.
You can't play the same song.
Well, that's the only one I have.
Let's sing it in Spanish or something. Feliz cumpleaños a ti. Feliz cumpleaños a ti.
Yeah. So this is for my wife, and I hope she appreciates it.
I'm sure she will.
Yeah. Let's take a little break.
Wait,
okay?
Wait. Oh,
yes.
Okay.
What?
I don't know. I wanted to ask you, you thought it was the text message I sent you yesterday was funny.
It was very funny.
Let me tell the story, and then I want to hear your reaction. So I'm driving down Beverly Boulevard, and I told you before I was super lightheaded from having the flu. I probably shouldn't have been operating a motor vehicle. And a fucking Hasidic Jew with his, you know, his Jerry curls.
A what Jew?
Hasidic. An Hasidic Jew jumps out of the fucking car and, like, I'm telling you, he looked like a little leprechaun. He just, like sprightly, like, sprang from his car into the middle of fucking Beverly Boulevard. I could have gotten in an accident or killed him.
You really could have.
And I'm just like, oh, my fucking God. And the first thing I thought about was you.
Yeah. So did he have the hat
he
and
the
beard
hat,
and everything?
He had the beard. He had the Jerry curls.
Right.
Are this, is that what they're called?
I don't know what the fuck they're called. Yeah, go on.
But so I send you a text. I'm like, Sam, oh my God, I almost killed an Hasidic Jew.
Uh-huh. And I wrote you back?
That it's not an Hasidic, A-C-I-D-I-C.
It's a Hasidic.
I always thought my mom said, she would always whisper, that person's gay. That person's an Hasidic Jew. And it sounded like Hasidic.
Yeah, full of acid.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, I erased it like four times, and my BlackBerry doesn't have like predictive text for that.
Right.
So I'm like acidic, like acetone, like A-E-C. I'm trying to like figure out how to spell it, and I'm like, no, it sounds like my mom would always say when I was little, acidic.
Yeah.
So
that's funny. An acidic, well, maybe he was an acidic Jew.
I don't think they take acid, do they?
I don't know. You never know, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll take a break and we'll be back right after this.
Happiness is contagious.
Hey there, stranger. Beautiful day, huh? This is my favorite time of year.
If you come into close contact with happy people, their mirth can spread.
Put her there, pal. Name's Norman, but my friends call me Chipper.
Don't become infected like this man. Get the happiness vaccine today.
Howdy! I'm here for the happiness vaccine. Say, that's a lovely brooch.
We've got an acute case here. Sit down, sir. This injection will sting a little.
No problemo. Ow! What the hell? That hurt, you jerk!
We got it just in time.
Yeah, go bite one.
If you feel the lighthearted symptoms of happiness, act fast and get inoculated. Remember, the happiness you stop could be your own.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Let me tell you. When I am traveling around the world and have internet connections, I like to gently cup up my balls and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's very nice.
In a world where shitty talk radio proliferates the internet, two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Susie in the morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And we're back.
I just got a text from a new friend of the station, and a friend of mine, Justin in Vegas. He called the other day.
Yes.
To talk about our 48-hour-long party session.
Yes.
And he's like, my friend Avi's a Jew, and he takes lots of acid.
Yeah. Avi sounds Israeli, actually.
I know, yeah. I know. I dated an Israeli named Avi once.
Did you?
Yes.
You know, it's a nickname for Abraham.
Oh, he's Avram.
Yeah, Avram, which is Abraham in
Hebrew. Oh,
really? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
I'm going to start calling him Abe. I don't think he'll like
That's
it.
That's a very old name, though. You know, I mean, not many people get named that anymore.
Yeah. Avi's kind of cute, though. I like that.
Yeah, Avi's cute.
Chase actually introduced me to Avi.
Really?
Yeah, she's like, you guys both do a lot of drugs, and you're both smart people. And he was living in Boston at the time, and she was in L.A., but they went to Columbia together.
Uh-huh.
So she's like, you guys should get together and hook up and do drugs. So we did.
Yeah, do drugs together. She doesn't, huh?
No,
she
no.
She doesn't seem like someone
She doesn't
would.
Do any drugs. She barely gets wasted on a glass of wine.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which it brings me to another point.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't drink either, which is, I was thinking about this as I was laying in bed on Saturday, like moaning and crying over my ailment. And I was thinking how I hadn't had a drink in 3 fucking days.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, this is good, you know. But so I was thinking, there's a Jew gene.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't, like, Jews, they're not inclined to, like, alcoholism. Or, you know...
Well, I beg to differ. I mean, there's quite a bit of alcoholism.
Well, it might have been, like, mixed in with some other races.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, like, Jews in particular, mm-hmm. like, real Jews, like, straight Jews that
right.
I know...
Right.
That are, like, full-blown,
mm-hmm.
they do not
really?
Drink a lot of alcohol. Mm. And a lot of them say, like, they get sick off, like, one or two glasses
oh,
of
really?
Any kind of alcohol.
Yeah.
And
I don't get sick. I just don't like the buzz, you know?
Well,
I don't.
Maybe...
I enjoy the drinks, you know? Like, for example, I'll have a beer or two, or I'll have a cocktail or two. That's fine, but I don't have them, you know, I don't really get a buzz from
it's
them.
It's because you've got the Jew gene.
Maybe that's true.
You know, maybe it doesn't like, somehow the alcohol doesn't really agree with your body and like it tells you, like, okay, I don't really like this.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you're right.
There's a Jew gene that won't
maybe.
Let you get drunk.
A Jew gene.
A Jew gene.
A Jew gene.
A Jew gene. Shut up. I'm telling you, there's been like research on it.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're not just saying that.
I'm not just saying it. I mean, initially, I was just saying it when someone told me like a long time ago. I was like, whatever. And then I looked it up once upon a time, and there was actually like research done on it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You know, like blacks are prone to like sickle cell anemia. You know, like it's one of the, like those things.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
What do you
Who
think?
Knows?
What possible.
Do you think about that?
It's possible.
Are you sure we weren't supposed to call our author?
No, he's supposed to call us. There was a call coming in, but they hung up right away.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
But I don't think it's that one. I don't know. I mean, I have phone numbers here. Should I call? I mean, what if it's just the office or something?
Well, that's all right. Give it a try.
No,
you know, Eric did tell me something the other day. And I also wanted to thank him and Chase for bringing over Gatorade and ginger ale and making me ginger tea and Alka-Seltzer and stuff when I was sick the other day.
Oh,
they both came over and
nice
took care
friends.
Of me. I know.
Oh.
But so Eric was telling me when we called England the other day,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, no, punch the number in online. That sounds funny. Because
right.
I don't know. I always like hearing the radio like, do, do, do.
Yeah.
But Eric said, you know, it takes like 30 seconds with someone with a sound machine
mm-hmm.
to like plug that into their computer and figure out the exact numbers you were dialing. And they can actually get the numbers from your calling card.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, well, there are only 49 minutes on it anyway.
Yeah, who cares?
Well, but, you know, it could have been, you know, in the future. Like, you could mm-hmm. have, like, something that's attached to, like, your credit card. A lot of people have calling cards attached to their credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
That could be, like, a way for someone to, like, get your credit card number, like, if they hear you punching in the numbers.
Right.
Which I never thought of.
Mm.
I wouldn't think twice about that.
That's true.
Because, like, each number has a distinct sound.
Right, right.
Which is kind of funky.
Hmm.
Well, do you want to try calling him?
No, because I don't think it's the right number.
Oh, okay.
But I guess we could talk to his assistant, right, and find out what happened?
Sure.
You want to?
Go for it.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I want to do that.
All right.
We'll just reschedule with him or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, can I talk about my news that I wanted to talk about?
Yes.
Really
if
quickly?
You have news, we welcome it.
Hold on 1 second. Let me find it.
Since we never fucking talk about it.
No, this is something I brought up the other day. Mm-hmm. Hold on a minute.
Hold on.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Okay, it's called Men Under Threat from Gender-Bending Chemicals.
Mm.
And I brought this up the other day with
you
the birth
did.
Control. You know, when women pee, you know, the pee has birth control and hormones and shit in it, and it goes directly into the water.
Right. And then it affects the fish, you said.
It affects the fish.
Right.
And so I woke up this morning and I get this website called popurls.com. Mm-hmm. And it gives you, like, you know, the basic news from all over the world and, like, what the headlines are.
Right.
And this is one of them. And I was like, how appropriate that I brought this up on Friday. And this is, like, the first thing I see.
Let's
hear. So it's a little, it's not that long, but just bear with me.
Okay. I will.
Okay. Scientists are warning that man-made pollutants which have escaped into the environment mimic the female sex hormone estrogen. The males of species including fish, amphibians, birds, and reptiles have been feminized by exposure to sex hormones, disrupting chemicals that have been found to be abnormally making egg yolk protein, normally made by females, according to a report by ChemTrust Environmental Group. The authors claim that the chemicals found in food packaging, cleaning products, plastics, sewage, and paint cause genital deformities, reduce sperm count, and feminize males.
Wow.
And it goes on to say that it's, you know, it's affecting these male fish in the British lowland rivers, and they've had signs of being feminized, as it's blocking the male hormone androgen, which has been released, leading to the development of eggs in their testes.
Wow.
I mean, the implications of this on a big scale are ridiculous.
It's really true.
Like, you don't understand, wow, like, how far-reaching this is.
Yeah. I mean
we're eating these fish, and we're, you know what I mean? Like, things that happen to frogs.
Right.
You know, there's a direct correlation between, like, you know, the shit that's happening to them and the shit that's happening to, like, us and our kids when we reproduce.
Mm. Yeah. But I'm wondering, do fish have estrogen and shit like that, do you think? Or it just affects them, huh?
No. I wouldn't think so.
No. So how does it affect them, I wonder?
Or maybe they do. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea how. I mean, I can go into deeper...
That's probably what determines the difference between a male and a female, though, right? So maybe they do. Maybe they do have testosterone and estrogen.
I'm trying to think into my biology of the fish that we were doing this semester. Shit.
That's something to ask you, teacher.
I'll ask my professor tonight, because after the test, we're taking him out to get margaritas.
Oh, cool. Get to party with the professor.
We're getting him shit-faced. He's like, should I invite my wife? And we're like, that was some kind of weird accent. That wasn't Brazilian. God damn it. That was like my Hebrew accent.
which sounds like a Russian accent.
No, it doesn't.
It really does.
No, it sounds like Pakistani or like Indian. I should I invite my wife?
Yeah, that one sounds Indian.
They all sound the same, whatever. I'm just kidding. But yeah, so everyone in the class was like, no, do not invite your wife, because then Susie won't be able to beat Susie and say, cock. Oh, man.
Yeah, he must love you guys.
No, he really
does. But that's the thing. I mean, the professor sets the tone for the class, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if he welcomes that kind of fun, then you'll have that.
Well, I mean, like, you know, everyone else, like, people take classes, like, so seriously. And, I mean, because he, like, lets us have a little bit of a lighter tone, like, sometimes, you know, he'll be like, all right, I have to leave the classroom for, like, 30 minutes to go, like, make these copies. Can you guys please, like, sit here and do your lab?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the very first time he did that, everyone was kind of, like, screaming and, like, off the wall and, like, throwing erasers at each other's heads.
Like, I mean, fucking kids.
Like, fucking kids.
Yeah, that's what happens in middle school.
But I stood up and I, like, I went and sat on the teacher's desk and I, like, I took the pointer stick.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, banged it on the desk. And I was like, you guys, I was like, this professor is so cool. He, like, lets us do whatever we want. You know what I mean? Like, why don't we actually surprise him? Do the fucking lab. When he comes back in half an hour, we're going to be sitting here silently, like, having our work done. And he's going to be amazed.
Yeah.
And then he's not going to feel, you know, so bad about, you know, letting us kind of run wild and do what we want to do most of the time. He's going to be like, look, they actually do care. And then in turn, we're showing him a little bit of respect.
Right.
And so everyone sat down. They're like, that's a good idea, Susie. So we sat down and we did the lab and we did that. And he came in and he almost had tears in his eyes.
Really?
When he saw us diligently, like, doing the lab and, like, looking into the microscopes. It was really sweet.
Oh, the kids are finally working.
They really are.
Yeah. That sounds like fucking middle school to me, Susie, when I used to teach them. That's what the fuck they do in the art class, you know? Throw erasers and shit at each other.
Well, since you brought it up.
Yes.
So, you know my friend Rachel in that class, the one who called in,
yes,
whose mom has Bob, the 2-foot dildo?
Yes.
So Rachel's boyfriend, Robbie.
By now we know her very well.
All right, whatever.
With the big dildo bob.
Well, some people might just be tuning in.
Yes.
So anyway, so Rachel's boyfriend, Robbie, actually, it was last Wednesday. He had this big pink eraser, like one of those bubblegum erasers.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept wondering, I'm like, where the fuck? Like, I keep getting hit in the head with, like, eraser pieces. Every time the professor would turn around, and I'm sitting front row, and I'm like, where the fuck is this coming from? And I finally turn around, and I catch him, like, as he's about to, like, flick and, like, shoot a piece of eraser across the room.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, aha. So I started gathering the eraser chunks from the floor.
Uh-huh.
And so as the professor turns his head around, I get my eraser primed and ready to go, like right in between my thumb and my middle finger for a very, very strong flick.
Uh-huh.
But my girlfriend Ariel happens to be sitting directly in the crossfire. Sam, you don't understand. Like, everyone in my half of the class that saw it almost pissed their pants.
I'm sure.
Because I hit Ariel square, like smack dab in the middle of the forehead with a huge, like the size of an eraser, chunk of eraser. Like, right in the middle of her fucking head. And the professor turns around as all of us are snickering and snorting and, like, sputtering our drinks. And he's like, what? Because he thinks it's something that he said or, like, a mistake in the English language that he messed up.
Because
that's usually what we laugh at him for. We're so mean.
Yeah.
But, like, we wouldn't tell him what it was about because I didn't want to get in trouble for being childish. I love when you laugh that hard. It's really funny.
Do you? Because you're funny. I mean, you're so fucking funny.
I'm just a big kid.
Oh, man. Yeah, you are. You are. That's why it makes me laugh when you say, oh, at 27, I'll feel older.
Well, I'm not there yet, okay?
Like an adult.
I've got 4 months.
Yeah. When's your birthday? In April?
March 14th. March. Oh, no. Is that 3 months? Wait. December?
Yeah,
January,
it's 3 months.
February? Kind of like 3.5.
Mm.
Fuck. I wonder if it's
what, you're worried about becoming 27?
No, I'm excited about being 27, but now that I just said I'm going to feel old and like, not old, but adult-like.
Right.
That I should take some more responsibility for myself and my actions.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe you don't have to, Susie. I mean, you got a whole fucking life ahead of you, you know? Just go with the flow. If that's what you want to do now, that's what you should do, you know?
But is that weird that 27, like, I'm not scared of 20, like, 26, like, sounded awful, but the other day, I went to buy cigarettes. I don't want to say it too loudly, but I went to buy cigarettes.
I know, nobody heard.
And like the lady didn't ask for ID, but she kind of gave me like the up and down look. And she was like, how old are you? And I was like, I'm 27. And I just said it. It just came out. And I don't know why I said I was 27 because I'm not. But then I walked out of the store and I like had this whole conversation in my head. It was like, why did I say I was 27? Mm. I'm not 27. I've never said I was 27. Why would I say that?
Yeah.
Like you don't walk around saying you're 49
close,
or that you're 50.
Maybe because it's close, you know?
I don't know. I've never rounded up except, well, actually, there was like a 6-year period when I pretended I was 21.
Yeah.
But shit, aside from that.
6-year period.
6-year period. No, almost 7-year period where I pretended I was 21.
Yeah, I can imagine it was miserable for you not to be able to drink legally, huh?
Oh, no. It didn't matter at all.
Didn't matter.
In New York, actually, the girl I was telling you about, Nicole, the one who had sex in the bed with her boy toy at the time, when we were 14, we would take the train down to New York City. And then we would actually go into Baltazar in the village, in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time we walked in there, and this was the first time I had, like, walked into a bar. And we had ourselves, like, slutted out, like, making ourselves look super fabulous. And in New York, when you're, like, a scrawny little 14-year-old, you really could actually be 30. You just really haven't eaten anything, and you have a Coke problem. So, I mean, people don't even question or card you.
Really?
She's like, oh, she just does a lot of blow. It's okay. Whatever. So, or they think you're just artsy, like with the way you dress, you know, you just have an excuse for anything.
Yeah.
So you walk into the bar and whatever. And so I don't know what to order. I'm 14. And so we sit down next to these two men in business suits.
Like, you're 14 and you go into a restaurant like that?
Like the, at the time it was like the hot bar.
Yeah.
Like everyone was going there. Anyone who was anyone. But so we walk up to the bar and there are these two like older gentlemen in their suits. And they're like, ladies, what can we buy you? And I was like, oh, whatever you're having. They were having like Kettle One dirty martinis.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do, so I get my dirty martini. I like throw it back in my face and I like swallow the whole thing in like two gulps. It tasted like and smelled like the dirty fish water I used to clean out at the pet store. I was like, oh my God, like an instant gag reflex.
Yeah.
I started like running towards the stairs where the bathroom was, like stumbling down the stairs to like go and puke that shit up. Oh man, it took a while for me to season myself to get used to that.
Yeah.
But so that was my first time, like, you know, pretending I was 21.
At 14?
Yeah.
And they let you get a drink there?
I'm telling you, Sam, really? Like, you've got the heroin chic look going on because you're, like, skinny, scrawny, no boobs.
Yeah.
And you're hookered out, like, with really expensive clothes. They just assume.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Wow.
Or if you watch Gossip Girl on TV right now, those kids are all in high school and they go to bars and they just walk in without being carded because, you know.
Oh, really?
You know, they know people or because their parents are wealthy. And it would continue on. Nicole and I would go down to the city or down to Boston. We would get a limo. Have the limo driver, like, you know, open the door for us, walk us straight to the front of the line, like, give the doorman $100, $200.
What a tough life.
And then we went.
Where'd you get all that money at the time?
I had all my commercial money at the time. And
so your parents let you spend that kind of money on limos and shit?
Well, her family would pay for the limos and things like that. She was the gazillionaire.
Oh, wow.
Like, she took me for my 18th birthday to Cancun, you know, when I was turning 18. And... basically, my parents were like, we're not paying for you to go spend your 18th birthday in Mexico. We're not going to let you spend your own money. And Nicole was like, so I really want you to be there. Like, it won't be the same without you. I'll pay for your trip. And I'm like, what? Okay. So we get there, and her mom came with us because my parents were like, you're not going without a parent. Uh-huh. So her mom came with us. And her mom, or Nicole had told the travel agent, make sure you put us up somewhere really fun, mm-hmm. where young people can, like, you know, really just have a good time.
Right.
So the travel agent put us at an all-inclusive resort.
Uh-huh.
We get to the all-inclusive resort. The bedroom was not up to par, or the hotel room was not up to par for Nicole. Mm-hmm. There was, like, sand in the sheets. And, I mean, it was fine for me. Like, I was 18. Yeah. I'm in Mexico. What the fuck do I care? Like, the first drink we got at the all-inclusive resort, it was not Grey Goose or Kettle One. It was, like, well. Oh, my God. They gave us well. And, like, you know, the orange juice was, like, you know, I don't know, Sunny D or something that was watered down mixed with the well. And so Nicole's mom was staying down the street at the Ritz. Nicole was so spoiled, and they didn't have any more rooms at the Ritz, that she made her mom go and stay at the nasty all-inclusive, and the two of us went and took over the Ritz.
Whoa.
So, like, that's how much money these people have. And then the next...
See, but kids will do that to parents. These days, I mean, the kids are fucking in charge. It's amazing.
It's disgusting.
It really is.
I have never felt so bad for, like, anyone in my entire life as I actually did for her mother, because her mom would do anything for this girl.
Yeah.
Like, anything. And it's, like, including give up her own, like, creature comforts and habits.
Right. No, I know. And then the kids don't fucking appreciate it.
And then they're
either.
So ungrateful. And, like, they're just like, you know, fuck you, Mom. Like, you know, you didn't buy me, like, the right sweater. I asked for this Armani or this Gucci sweater, and you bought me the Prada one. Ugh. Yeah. And I mean, I'm telling you, like, the sense of entitlement is so disgusting.
It really is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Really is. And then my son goes and makes me feel bad over the weekend that I don't have enough time to spend with him, you know? I mean, so I have him come over, and I mean, it is true.
Well, time...
But the point is...
Your son complaining about time, Sam. Mm-hmm. You know, spend time with your kids and your family when you can. I mean, that's your biggest complaint about your daughter, is that she doesn't make time to spend with you.
Right.
Make time.
But, you know, you have to... And I do. And I mean, I do see him, not as often as we used to, but I see him. But we don't really have time to do anything. But the point is that really stresses me out, you know, because I've always used to be very close with him. Mm-hmm. You know, and we still are, but it's just there's not enough time. But look, he's 15, you know, I mean, he needs to understand at this point, you know, that, hey, you know, this is a point in my life where I'm really busy, you know, so, but instead he gives me all this guilt, you know, and I'm just like totally stressed out by it.
All right, well, here's an idea. Mm-hmm. You need help with the studio. Why don't you ask him, you know, be like, you know, why don't you come in, Sean, and, like, you know, see how I run the studio? Why don't you invite...
He knows.
Well, why don't you invite him to come and interact and do some of the things that you are so busy doing?
Yeah. Well, I don't think he wants that. I don't know.
How do you know? He always seems extremely interested in the show and in what we're talking about. And, like, you know, he loves coming in here and meeting all the different hosts every time I've seen him in here.
That's what you see. Okay, but no, that's not what he wants. But, you see, and he doesn't even know what he wants to do. I mean, tell me what the hell you want to do, we'll do it, you know? But
well, maybe he's indecisive,
but to me,
like
it's
me.
Just like, for me, it's just like if we spend time together and stuff, you know, doing whatever, it's cool.
Well, what do you do when you spend time with him?
I don't know, we watch Howard Stern on TV.
Hold on. You watch... Howard Stern on TV with your 15-year-old son.
Yes, and he likes the parts where they get on the Sibian. You know what the Sibian is?
Sam. Yeah. Hold on a minute. You watch Howard Stern with your 15-year-old son.
Yes.
And he likes the part where the girls get on the Sibian.
Yes.
Sam.
Yes.
With your 15-year-old son, this is your quality father-son time.
Yes, and we have blast. I mean, look.
What about the old-fashioned way of fucking fishing? Take the boy fishing, for God's sake. Go fucking fish a gefilte fish.
This time in
a
his life.
A hormone-infused, estrogen-infused gefilte fish out of the fucking
Listen,
Pacific.
Right now he just needs someone to talk to about sex a lot and stuff, and I'm the one that is really open with
What
him.
About, like, fishing and talking about sex? Not Howard Stern. You want him to see, like, women being objectified? Can you imagine the first
yes,
time
in
he...
in fact, I
no.
do.
Can you imagine the first time this poor boy gets, a, like, a naked girl in front of him? He's going to, like, take a cucumber and be like, sit on it, bitch. Oh,
no, I don't
my
think it's
God.
Happen.
Sam.
What? He needs to see this stuff.
No, Susan. He doesn't. Trust me, kids find this stuff all on their own.
I know.
Oh, trust me, they do.
I know.
Did you ever watch? Oh, man. Oh, Sam.
This is our quality time.
Oh, my. I don't even know what to say. I mean, I, for once, am just shocked.
Are you? Well, look, Susie, if I'm at home working all day, okay, you know, so I bring him around. At least he's around. And then, you know, we talk. We do this. We do that. Play some video games and shit. You
video
know, so.
Games and Howard Stern.
And Howard Stern, yeah.
Take the boy fishing, please.
Okay, but I can't run a station from the boat, okay? From the pier.
Or take but him. No, I'm I mean, telling look, you, take him to the station. Ask him one day if he would like to come and like help you run the station. I guarantee, like the spark that lights up in his eyes, like really, my dad's like really important radio station that is like his life and blood. Like he wants me to be included in it. I'm telling you, he might be. You might be pleasantly surprised.
Okay, I'll try that. I'll try that.
Try that.
Okay, but I'm telling
and
you,
and keep
he's
it
not
clean for
it.
God's sake. Jesus Christ. Well, tell him I'll be here topless, like mopping the floor or something. I don't know.
He'll come then.
Oh, God.
Wow. Yeah, he's infatuated with you. He likes you a lot.
He sent me a message on Facebook about the photo shoot that Lisa and I did. Uh-huh. And he's just like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, I don't know what was going on, but I got to know. I got to know the story behind this. Such a cutie pie. He really is.
Yeah, he really is, you know.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but he needs to find a girl. Then I'm sure he won't mind if his dad's not around.
Well, why don't you, Sam...
What?
You can't say things like that. That's awful.
No. No, I'm just saying that he needs that. He needs that right now, you know? I mean, at 15, you don't really spend time with your parents.
Well,
you
why
know?
Don't you set him up on J-Date?
Okay. I wanted to, but he's too young.
Really?
I don't think we can do that, yeah.
They have an age limit?
Of course.
I remember I was on like the Casual Encounters once upon a time, and I found this one guy, I think I might have told you, all he wanted to do, like one guy, all he wanted to do was like lick pussy. And the other guy was like a young guy. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm this really young guy, and I'm just looking for like an older woman to have fun with. I was like, that sounds kind of fun. I consider myself an older woman. Uh-huh. I don't know. And when I hear a younger guy, I'm thinking, okay, he's like 18, 19. I'm like, this could be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Mold and shape him exactly the way I want him. And so I respond, and I was like, hi, I'm 26. Is that old enough? He's like, actually, I'm 28. I was looking for someone... I was looking for someone like 40. He's like, but it sounds like we can have fun together. And I was like, damn it. He's like, that's too old. Oh, God.
That's funny.
I know.
Yeah. Well, you want to take another break? Let's take another quick break.
Sure.
Okay, so we'll be back with you right after this.
Millions of people enjoy stamp collecting. And with the economy in a recession, you and your family can have minutes of fun collecting genuine United States food stamps.
Look, Mom, an uncirculated cheese stamp.
Great, Billy. Be sure to put it in the album next to the canned tuna, bread, and milk.
Food stamps are not just fun to save, they're fun to spend.
Our hungry family just loves U.S. food stamps. They're colorful and exciting. It's like art you can eat.
Every month, you'll receive a new supply of food stamps. Use them, save them, or even trade them.
I'll trade you a box of chocolate chip cookies for a frozen pizza.
Make that two boxes, and you've got a deal.
Don't delay. Start collecting United States food stamps today.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free, original talk. Only on LA Talk Radio. Your favorite talk station.
Holly came from Miami, FLA, hitchhiked away across USA. plucked her eyebrows on the way, shaved her legs, and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. Never once gave it away. Everybody had to pay and pay. A hustle here and a hustle there. New York City is the place where they said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey Joe, take a walk on the wild side. Sugar Plum Fairy came and hit the streets, looking for soul food and a place to eat. Went to the Apollo, you should have seen him go, go, go. They said, hey sugar, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Alright. Ha. Just speeding away. Thought she was Jim Dean for a day. Then I guess she had to crash. Valium would have helped that patch. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, do 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 do.
The crazy things that people are doing now, because you know, many people are getting laid off or and stuff. So this woman is has decided to sell her hair after losing a job and falling behind on her mortgage. So they're saying people are doing all kinds of creative shit and stuff. You know, like this guy's participating in medical trials.
I have a friend, actually. He's actually a friend of a friend, a friend of Janique's. Uh-huh. I met him at Janique's graduation. He's from England. And that's all he does for a living.
Really?
Is medical trials. That is how he makes his living, doing these you know, you go on Craigslist and it's like, do you have psoriasis? You know, do you have a funny itchy burn down there? You know, like, or they're just random medical studies you can just sign up for.
Yeah.
And he makes his living doing that.
Really?
His body is like science.
Wow. How much do you think he gets paid for that? A lot?
He does pretty well, because he only does it like, I don't know, well, I guess I can't put a number of days per week on it, but you know, he does like certain trials for like 2 months, at a time, and then he'll take like a month or two off and like travel around the world and do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Skiing and surfing and snowboarding and just fucking around.
I guess there's a lot of ways to make money, you know, I mean, people can sell their eggs like you did the one time, right? Sperm, you know, things
selling
like that.
Selling your hair... I don't know. I don't know how much money you get for it.
Yeah.
But I remember, you know, it was like the giving blood thing. You give your, like, donating locks for love when you cut off your hair and give it to cancer. Someone was telling me the other day that you shouldn't actually do that. Well, not that you shouldn't do it, but that they don't actually, in turn, like, take the wig and give it to someone who needs it or can't really afford it.
Yeah.
They actually turn around and sell the fucking thing.
Yeah.
That's really shitty. People think, like, for the most part, when they cut their hair off and they're doing this, that they're donating it to a good cause.
Yeah.
And the same with blood. Like, you donate your blood. The Red Cross isn't, like, giving it away for free.
Oh, really?
No. They're turning around and, like, screening it, and they're selling it to people.
Not to people, but to hospitals.
To hospitals,
right?
And stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
No, they're making money on it.
Wow.
And I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, but at the same time, it's just
well,
like...
Well, maybe they're charging just for their expenses and stuff, you know?
I don't know.
Not making money. I mean, because the Red Cross is probably a non-profit, you know, for sure. So, yeah.
Have
so
you ever seen Death to Smoochie?
No.
That was actually what?
Death to Smoochie?
Yes. So a friend of mine signed me up for Netflix because I'm completely ignorant with all the movies that are going on in my own pop culture.
Uh-huh.
And so I get these movies. And I never have time to watch them. I've actually had these two movies for about like 6 months. And I haven't had time to watch them. But Netflix is great because it doesn't matter. You can keep it forever.
Yeah, exactly.
So one of them was Death to Smoochie. And I kind of looked at the jacket, you know, and I was like, all right, this looks stupid. It's like a big purple rhinoceros, kind of like Barney, and it does its thing. And it's like, all right.
The fuck did you get it?
Well, that's what I thought. So on Saturday, by the time my head felt better enough to watch The Young and the Restless, and then I ran out of those, I really had nothing left to do. And I was like, oh, fucking Death to Smoochie, here I come. So I put it in. First of all, it's Danny DeVito, Edward Norton, what's his name? The guy who is Mrs. Doubtfire.
Robin Williams.
Yeah. So it's an all-star cast with these guys in it, first of all. The funniest fucking movie I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminded me of like, who killed Roger Rabbit with like the animation and like the colors.
Oh, really?
Color scheme going on.
Uh-huh.
Fucking hysterical. You need to watch that movie with your son. It
really?
Was priceless.
Wow.
Absolutely priceless.
And why did you get it? I mean, because of the actors you saw?
I didn't get it. It was sent to me by my friend who signed me up for a list of like
So they created your queue for you and stuff.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Wait, why did I just bring that up? What were you talking about that made that come to my mind?
Movies. We're talking about movies?
No, before
the movies.
I don't know.
No, because you said you didn't have anything to watch, so you started watching that thing.
But no, there was a reason I brought that up.
Mm.
Fuck.
God, it does happen.
No, what were we talking about before? I wish we had a rewind button. Yeah,
and
you
think
rewind?
I remember? You picked the wrong person to ask.
Alan, if you're out there and you remember what I just said about why I wanted to bring that up.
I just remember you said you were bored, you ran out of things to watch, no General Hospital, or Young and the Restless.
I don't
sorry.
Watch General Hospital, please.
So,
have
excuse
some respect
me.
For me, Sam.
From where I'm sitting,
please.
It's the same thing.
Have some respect. I'm not that low.
So that's what you said, and then you said, I watched this movie. And but that's where you segued from.
No, there was something that like...
Okay, that we're two fucking goldfish.
God damn it.
I can't remember shit.
And a goldfish.
Well, we just say
memory.
Too much, Susie.
I guess it's mine. Actually, this is a little clip from my favorite artist, Ani DiFranco. Mm-hmm. She goes, and the goldfish has no memory. I guess his mind is much like mine. And the little plastic castle is a surprise every time.
That's cool.
Isn't that cool? Like, the fish goes around in a circle, and every time he gets to the end, he's like, surprise. Like, it's a castle. And then he goes around the bowl again, and he's like, surprise, it's a castle.
Well, wasn't that in Finding Nemo also the same thing? With the Ellen DeGeneres character. She was like,
she was going
back and forth, and she had a short memory loss.
Yes. That's funny. I'm surprised you've seen Finding Nemo.
Oh, yeah. It was great. No, I mean, I used to watch a lot of these movies when the kids were younger, you know?
Did I tell you I watched Happy Feet the other day?
Yes, with the penguins.
With the six-pack around his neck? Oh, no, this is my favorite part. There was, like, the mystic. You know, there was the mystic penguin, and, like, all the penguins, if they had a question, they had to, like, take a rock, because a rock, I guess, is, like, the penguin currency or something. They would all have to, like, wait in line, like, a huge line, like, thousands of penguins long, to get to the top and ask one question to the mystic. And all of a sudden, like, you know, he's got a group of, like, female penguins around him that are, like, smaller and sexier, and they start doing their little dance and, like, you know, shaking their little fins or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, like, the mystic penguin turns around, and he's got, like, feathers on his head. But then the thing that makes him so special is he was bestowed with this special gift. And it's a six-pack holder from, like, a Coke can or a beer can. And it's, like, stuck on his neck. And that, like, separates him from all the other penguins. And he's, like, you know, God bestowed this upon me, and I am the mystic.
So you're talking about that animated movie, right?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking like March of the Penguins. I'm going, what the fuck is he doing with a six-pack around?
No.
And they're getting waiting in line to ask him a question. Happy Feet.
Okay, although I did meet the directors and everything, and the producers of Happy Feet, of the March of the Penguins.
Uh-huh.
And I actually got to meet two of the penguins that were on it, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. This was a couple years ago at the Explorers Club in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I also got to meet, I always mess this up. Not Lance Armstrong, the astronaut. What's his name?
Neil Armstrong.
Neil Armstrong. Yeah.
Hold on, we have somebody been trying to call. Lance Armstrong.
Shut up. TJ just gave me a death stare.
Oh, good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie.
Good morning. How are you guys? It's Eric.
Hi, Eric.
How you doing?
How are you all?
Good. We're doing well.
Sam, a few things. Talking earlier about things to do with your son. And, you know, I remember some of my happiest times when I was a kid. Just going out and walking car lots with my stepdad. You know, just random things. You know, talking about engines and this car and that car. Or
this Beamer or that Beamer.
Yeah.
Huh?
This Beamer or that Beamer.
Another thing we would do is we would break into houses. The two of us.
Eric, do like not houses? Fucking tell Sam to break into houses with his goddamn 15-year-old son.
Yeah, I thought he was actually...
Wait a second. I don't know if it's illegal, but these were homes that were under construction.
Mm. It's illegal. Right? It's called trespassing.
They wouldn't have the shell or anything.
Yeah.
And we would walk on in and we would like try and visualize, okay, this is the living room, and I think this is the dining room over here, and, you know, there's nothing in the kitchen, and we would walk upstairs, you know, which really weren't stairs, it'd be ladders and stuff like that. And, you know, and it was totally fun just to, like, fantasize and stuff. I mean, I remember going on family walks and doing stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, you have to understand, when they were younger, we would do activities all the time, you know, and there were times in my life where I wasn't busy, and we just do amazing things, you know, but now that he's a teenager, it's hard to entertain them, you know?
Yeah, you know, I babysit a 15-year-old,
mm-hmm.
you know,
really?
and I pick him up from school, and I take him on home and everything like that.
And you guys talk about chodes and sex all day long.
Well, we do, but we also go to, like Lamborghini and Ferrari dealerships.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And we look at cars, or we do fun little things like that.
Right.
You know, we're always pointing our girls. But, Suze, I do also remember some of my happiest moments.
We're watching Howard Stern?
We're watching TV with my dad.
Yeah.
You know, but we would watch, like, Cinemax. I mean, the first porns I ever saw were sitting there watching them right to sleep with my stepdad.
You guys, you two men in my life. Ew, these poor boys.
Well, that's what we do, Susie.
Go fishing.
That's what we
do. Fucking fishing.
But fishing is lame.
No,
okay?
It's not.
It's lame.
In today's
culture, kids need a lot of stimulation. I mean, this kid, he sits down for 5 minutes. If he doesn't have a PlayStation Portable or the personal
PSP. Fishing is very tactile.
Or whatever it is,
fishing
you know.
Fishing is very tactile.
Fuck the tactile shit. He wants to use his head, you know, and fishing.
Fishing, you've got to use your head.
You don't.
You absolutely do.
I got a website you can show your son.
Okay.
Later today.
Okay.
Right?
What's it called?
It's called popthatzit.com.
Ew.
Pop that what?
Pop that zit.
Oh, that's zit. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Susie's already looking for
it.
Do I pop zits? I'm sure I used to. I don't have zits anymore, though. But yeah, don't we all? Yeah. Pop that zit. Wow.
It's my new porn site. I am just totally addicted to it.
Really?
Like mashed potato, cream cheese things coming out. It is epic.
I don't think I want to look at that.
Oh, God. Popping your own zits is one thing, but like watching other people pop theirs, oh my God.
Ugh, disgusting.
Oh,
you know?
I was dreaming of it last night. Don't
they do that for you when you get a facial, though? They take out all the blackheads.
It's called
an
extraction.
Shit. Oh, how disgusting.
No,
is that?
It's wonderful when you have someone else do it that's a professional.
I'm sure,
and they do it with like rubber gloves and everything's like sterile.
But the one that does it, it's gross, you know? But then again, all these things are gross. I think pedicures are very gross. You know?
Pedicures can be some of the
dirtiest. Pedicures are gross.
Pedicures are some of the dirtiest
I mean,
things out
them,
there.
To give them, you know, to give a pedicure to someone, You know, and the stinky, scaly feet.
I know people that have actually gotten like massive like bacterial infections on their feet and had to go to like real doctors to have them the problem like remedied after really? Getting bad pedicures.
Wow.
You know, I did this one thing, and actually Susie
Ew,
did it.
Ew, it's disgusting. It's so disgusting. Oh my God.
I was at Erotic LA.
I think right? It's fake.
Yeah.
It's not fake.
He was at LA Erotica.
Right. Yeah, Erotica.
So I'm at Erotic LA, and there are these foot baths that are there, right?
Right.
And what they basically do is they put a little salt in the foot bath, and they have these
ions that are supposedly supposed to suck the
electrolyte things at the bottom of it, right? They sit there for 20 minutes, and basically it detoxifies your body through your feet.
Mm.
The ions pull all the heavy metals, or even if you have parasites and stuff, shit comes out of your feet, and the water turns this like, depending on what it is. You know, okay. If you've been doing a lot of coke, maybe it's bright yellow. You know, maybe if you've been drinking a lot, it's more orange.
Right.
You know,
right.
If you do a lot of cigarettes, it's like a black, tarry, syrupy thing.
It was disgusting, and I think it's all fucking hype.
Really?
I think they put something in the water that
then
just like
how
slowly.
How the hell did that water turn your color?
Didn't you have worms like come out of your feet?
What?
I did, yeah.
What?
He says he had worms come out of his feet.
Are you serious?
I had small little parasites.
Wow.
That you could see like floating like on the thick oily surface of the water. It was the foulest thing ever.
Keep in mind he's a dirty hippie.
And how did that get into your body in the first place?
Well, we all have parasites in our bodies. Some are healthy, some aren't healthy.
Mm.
You know, like if you eat lots of sugar and you drink lots of coke, you probably will have a lot more parasites.
Really?
Than you.
A lot of chocolate and shit too?
You know, I mean, they tend to like sugars a lot.
Yeah,
so
well,
that's candida and all that. I mean, that's a bacterial overgrowth.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
There are some people who even say cancer comes from certain kinds of parasites that are actually in your body.
Mm. Interesting.
I think it comes from carcinogens.
Yeah. I think, yeah, cancer comes from all kinds of things, I think, but usually when you abuse a body part, I think, you know.
Eric, thank you for bringing me my ginger tea and my Alka-Seltzer.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I hope you're feeling better, though.
I am. Thank you.
All right, Eric. Thanks so much for calling,
man.
All
right. Well, enjoy your Monday, and I'll talk to you all soon.
Bye.
All right. Thanks. Okay. We love Eric. He's officially a friend of the show, right?
Yes. Ew, that website, popyourzit.com, is nasty.
Is it? Then I'm not going there.
Don't go to it.
You know, I got to tell you, I remember something. That's why I try not to be curious anymore and be careful what I click on. I remember when the internet started, okay, I remember actually sitting there. It was like a whole thing just to connect to the internet. We're talking 1995, maybe.
Okay.
1994, 95. And, you know, so porn just started proliferating on the internet. And so, you know, people would send you links like, go check this out,
yeah.
Right? So a friend of mine sends me a link to the site, and I go there, and you can't see the picture, so you have to click in order to see the picture. So it's like a blind link,
mm-hmm.
Right? I click on them. One picture shows this chick sitting on bending over on a chair and taking a shit inside this guy's mouth.
Ah.
Okay? That's what I had to look at. And that image is burned in my mind to this very day. That was one thing. Another thing was a snake coming out of a woman's vagina.
Ooh.
Okay? And I have a problem with snakes anyway.
Do you want to know why you have a problem with snakes?
Why?
Because if you go back in evolution, you mm-hmm. still have part of your reptilian brain in your head that has an innate fear of snakes.
Really?
Yep. It's something that has not been, it hasn't been evolutionized or whatever, you know, mm. out of your
evolved.
Fucking... Yeah, evolved.
Hasn't evolved.
Shut up. I like making up my own words.
Evolutionized.
Evolutionized out of your system. You haven't gotten it out yet. Fuck you, Lance Armstrong.
I know, we forgot that one. So you started telling the story about Neil Armstrong then?
Yeah, I met him along with like the March of the Penguin people and the March of the Penguins.
Nice.
And I was sitting with Diana Holt, like one of the owners of Budweiser.
Mm-hmm.
These are all people I know like through Michael.
Right.
And so like we're at, this was actually a really bad story. So Michael and I are staying at the Waldorf in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, like, I get to invite, he invites me to go as his date to the Explorers Club, and we're sitting with the owner of Budweiser, and, you know, it's like this whole big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like all over, like, the papers and everything, and so I get to go. So I get dressed up in my fancy schmancy outfit, you know, my diamonds and everything. And so I look like a lady.
With the $40,000 earrings?
Yes.
Yes.
But I look like a lady. Let me just say that again. You can dress me up. But so anyway, we go and we sit down at the table, and it's a course dinner, and so they're serving everyone food. Mm-hmm. But they would bring only one bottle of wine per table. Mm-hmm. There are 8 fucking people at the table, and I'm there. I'm like 20-something, and there are all these like 60-plus people around me with one bottle of wine. Are you kidding me? So, like, everyone is being extremely polite. And then the only thing you were supposed to be buying at the table was wine. Mm-hmm. And so each couple would kind of be like, oh, you know, I'll get the next bottle of wine. But they were taking their sweet-ass time. Mm. So they start, like, pouring, like, a little drip of wine in each person's glass. And I'm also there with Mark, the former owner of my old bar where I used to work. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So I'm grabbing Michael's glass, Mark's glass, and I'm just fucking dumping the wine in my mouth.
Yeah, some lady you are.
And Michael had left his wallet, like, up in the room. And so he didn't have any cash on him to, like, or a credit card to buy another bottle. And I'm like, this is bullshit. I was like, Michael, give me the room key. And he's like, what? And I was like, give me the room key. I'll be back. So I actually, in my high heels and, like, my Gucci dress and my diamonds, 40,000 diamond earrings, hike up the dress, and I'm running through the Waldorf Astoria, like, hightailing it through this fucking hotel. To get up to the elevator, to get up to my room where I throw open the mini bar, rip open a bottle of wine, and I'm chugging it. Like, wine's, like, spilling down my face, okay? And, like, all over my chest. It looks like I've been stabbed. As I'm, like, chugging this bottle of wine, because I'm like, this is so fucking dry and boring. But actually, it was more exciting than I thought, but I just wasn't emotionally, or I wasn't ready for it at the time.
Yeah.
And so I get wasted in the room in, like, 5 minutes, and I start running, wipe the wine off my face. I smear it onto my lips to give myself a little bit of color. And I go running back down into the thing, or the room where everyone is. That was a really bad night for me and Michael, actually. Because after that, people started feeling badly for me, and they started actually buying bottles of wine. So I still, like, started drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking. Wow. So next thing you know, I'm wasted, like, talking to Diana Hall. I'm like, ah! Like, I gotta go to Africa with you and your people. You know, my drunk Susie voice. Because she has, like, these mission, like, you know, charity things that she, like, sponsors to go over there. I'm like, I love going to Africa. And Michael's like, okay, you know, stop spitting on Diana Holt. But so later on that evening, coming back from a bar where Michael and I had been, I decided to renounce materialism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I literally, I'm pretty much, this is what they tell me I did. This is my best friend who was with us at the time, and Michael. They tell me I stumble into the Waldorf Astoria, and I literally, like, I try and pull my dress over my head. So I'm stuck in my thong underwear, my Jimmy Choo's, my $40,000 diamond earrings, trying to get the dress over my head. And I'm like, you can't buy my love. I'm like, da, 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 take the dress back. Wow. Like, my boobs are, like, sticking out. I've got the dress above my head.
Are you serious? This is at the Waldorf?
Yes.
Wow.
Keep in mind, Paris Hilton grew up here. So, I mean, they've seen much worse.
Mm-hmm.
But so Michael and Anna are, like, trying to, like, force the dress back over my head. You know, and, like, then I, when someone tries to make me do something I don't want to do, like, I'll do what I did when I was little, and, like, I'll turn spineless, and I'll drop to the ground and turn into, like, a pile of, like, of potatoes.
Bones.
A pile of whatever. So, like, you're dead weight, and no one can pick you up.
Yeah.
And so I'm dropping with my dress, like, half on to the ground in the lobby. Yeah, I woke up the next day, like, on the couch in the room, like, with my dress on and, like, a fur coat on top of me. And they're both just staring at me, and they're like, Susie.
You're such a fucking liability.
I'm renouncing materialism. I'm trying to run away in my Jimmy Choo's and my $40,000 diamond earrings.
Yeah, there you go.
And Michael's like, Susie, this is the last time I bring you to a society event ever. Ever. And this man still talks to me.
Yeah.
On a daily basis.
Wow.
Is that not awful?
It is. He must really love you.
Yeah, he really does. He takes the good with the bad. I will give him credit for that.
Yeah.
There's been some bad, but there's been more good that always kind of outshines it.
I'm sure.
But isn't that awful? And all of this comes from the Lance Armstrong. I mean, fucking Neil. What? They sound the same.
Lance Armstrong.
Oh, man.
Wouldn't have been strange to meet him, too, you know? I mean, but...
It would have been strange?
But I said it wouldn't have been.
Oh, no.
No.
But, no, definitely not.
But Neil Armstrong, that's a pretty big deal.
I know. It was really cool.
Yeah, he was like my hero, I remember, in 1969 when they landed on the moon and shit, you know? It was amazing.
I know.
It really was.
That Explorers Club was so cool because, like, the first course like when people are like mingling and doing like the social thing, like before you sit down for your dinner, they actually, you know, because they're celebrating all the explorations and all like the celebrations of like things that people do around the world, you know, that are, you know, pretty big deals, or things that are of importance, you know. And so, but so they had like this one culture, actually a couple different cultures, that they actually brought food from other cultures around the world. And they had like the whole thing was bugs, edible bugs for the appetizers.
Yeah.
So like they've got like beetles and mealworms, like live things crawling around in like these platters. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was really creepy and disgusting, but just a really cool, such like a New York thing to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, all right, everything else has been done. What else can we do? All right, we'll do cultures around the world. We're going to serve like mealworms on a crostini, you know, with a tapenade. Why the fuck not? Bring it on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You would have been so grossed out, Sam.
Yeah, you think so?
Oh my God, you would have you would have left. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, somebody's asking, what is a Sibian? Do you want to explain that to them?
How are they asking?
On instant message.
Oh, okay. Is it someone we know?
No.
Oh. So just random person is instant messaging you?
Yeah.
I learned, to whoever this mystery person is, I learned what a Sibian was on Sam and Susie in the Morning, I think within the first week of the show.
That's true.
Sam actually told me what a Sibian was.
Yes.
Actually, can I bring in something for the studio?
Yeah, but for, okay, you're going in all directions.
I'm going, okay.
What's a Sibian?
If Sam, or correct me if I'm wrong.
Right.
But it's kind of like a horse saddle.
Like a mechanical
horse. Like a mechanical bull type of thing.
Where
you can like lock on a dildo and you sit on it and you turn the dildo on and it kind of like fucks you and rocks you at the same time.
Yeah, but not all the attachments have like insertion, you know? I mean, mostly it's for your clit.
Oh, really?
So it really vibrates like really, really hard.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. There's no like, I mean, most attachments, you don't insert them. You just ride it. You mount it. You sort of position your clit right there, and it makes you come in no
time.
That
is amazing. I thought it was like an insertion thing.
No, not at all. No, this is about
vibrations.
Dude, we got
to get one for the fucking studio.
I know. Put on our guests on here. But that'd be too much like Howard Stern.
I don't care.
No?
Okay, all right. Well, that's what. All right, this is what I'm going to bring in, and it's totally different than Howard Stern. Mine is a machine for your core. It's called the iGallop.
Yes, you told us about it.
I told you about this. I have it in my garage at Lisa's house. Can I please bring it into the studio?
And that lets you come, right?
No.
When you ride it?
It's an exercise machine.
Yeah, I know. But didn't you say it makes you come or something?
No.
No? So why would you want to bring it in?
It looks, it totally just, it's hysterical. I'm telling you, we can have our guests sit on it. And it's just the funniest thing you've ever seen. To watch different people like being bucked and bounced around on it.
I know,
and
it's funny.
It looks like you're having sex. And you could do one horse and it's like, slow horsey. And then you could do two horses and you're like, oh, horsey. Oh, my.
They have them like sharper image and stuff, right?
That's exactly where I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a Brookstone.
I gallop.
But I'm telling you, it's the most wrong thing that they could ever have at one of those stores. Because like children can get on these things.
Yeah.
And like when I got mine, it was at an airport in North Carolina and I mounted it right in front of everyone. And I just did like a whole display.
Really?
Like my head thrown back and just like screaming and moaning. And people are walking by and like covering their children's eyes and they're like, oh God, Sally, don't look. Oh, little Susie. Oh no. Oh God. You know, as they're like trying to walk by and the businessmen are doing a double take and they're like, hey, maybe I don't need to go to Thailand. Wow.
You freak people out everywhere you go, you know.
I know. But they had free shipping and I had Michael's credit card at the time, so I bought it.
Oh, yeah. It was a no-brainer.
Sorry, Michael.
No-brainer there, huh?
You asked what I was spending 50 grand a month on. Well, here you go.
There you go.
That day alone, I think I spent like 4 grand in the airport. And my sister was like, Susie, how could you spend 4 grand in an airport?
Yeah, that'd
like,
be so much fun,
do that?
Huh? I'm sure it's a lot of fucking fun to do.
I was like, well, you enjoyed your mani-pedis and your massage.
Yeah.
I was like, so don't ask how I could spend 4 grand in an airport.
I know, you just buy shit you don't need, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
Yeah. You buy a lot of wine and alcohol there at the duty-free, probably?
No, I don't even bother with the duty-free.
Oh, you don't?
I go straight to, like, the most expensive place.
Really? Grace, the great taste you have there.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, I'm all talked out.
Are you? Is it time to go?
Almost. Yeah, but
we can go home early today. I've got to go study.
Early, 4 minutes is not really early, but yeah, you know. So, good luck to you with your tests, with your exams tonight.
I'm going to do fine on bio, but I'm really not going to do okay on stats, so I'm really bummed. But
well, try a last minute ditch. Maybe you can, you know, maybe you can save a little bit of it. You know.
Ditch? What do you mean? You said try a last minute ditch.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Isn't that like a way to, is that what I'm trying to say?
Cram.
No. They say a last ditch effort. It's like, you know, the last chance you get.
Oh, no. Like when you say ditch, I think you mean like don't even take the final. Because I'm like this close to not, not even wasting a day studying for it. Because it's not going to make a difference.
No. That's not what I'm saying. Maybe I'm not saying it correctly, but I think you're retarded.
I don't like that word.
No?
No.
Sorry, I'll take it back.
Okay.
I think you're limited.
AFU. AFU is more more politically correct in my book.
Okay. Well, obviously, I don't think you're retarded. I thought it would sound funny. You didn't like it?
No.
Sorry about that.
That's okay, Sam. Okay. I still love you.
But we don't need to end on a shitty note. So what I want to know tomorrow is if you actually swallowed or not. We need to know that. And to everyone, have a great day, and we'll see you right here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Susie in the Morning, which airs every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific. To contact the show, please email your question or comment to sam@latalkradio.com or susie@latalkradio.com. A complete list of all past shows can be found on our archives page and on iTunes. For sponsorship or advertising information, email us at info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Susie in the Morning is a presentation of LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.